You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. It's the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I write for the Viking Age as well as Bring Me the News, Zone Coverage, and the Brookings Register. And we do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can send the word to the masses. Today's guest, he is an NFL draft and college football analyst for Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. He is also a contributor for Fantasy Football Weekly. He has a very impressive collection of college football helmets, as you can see behind him. And a very sick dino going in NCAA football 14. His name is Thor Nystrom. What's up, Thor? Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. It's good to be with you, Chris.
Yeah, and it's awesome to have you on. I know you're busy at work. You're working on your bowl previews. The bowl season actually already started. And I wanted to run this by you as a college football analyst. I have this idea. We got four teams in the playoffs right now. What if we decided to expand it to 12 teams and like alter the universe and like shake things up a bit? I mean, I don't know. There might have to be some extra work involved and, you know, but I mean, what do you think here? 12 teams. Why not?
Chris, that's a great idea. I'm going to bring it to the powers that be, and I can guarantee you I will get it done for next year.
I mean, you know, we can get like a Power 5 undefeated champ in there. I know it's pretty hard for them to get into that, but you know what I'm saying here.
For sure. This would have been a good year for the expanded playoff. At least expanding it to 6 would have been nice for this year. But of course, we're going to get the 12 next year. But very excited about that. For sure. We needed it.
So, of course, this is a Vikings podcast, the Viking Age podcast, and you are a draft analyst. So the reason I had you on is to assess some of the Vikings rookies at this point of the season. Let's start on the defensive end, because one of the guys, the home runs that you hit with this draft process is Ivan Pace Jr. You had him as number 2 on your overall UDFA board this season. Pace racked up 137 tackles, 21 and a half for loss, 55 pressures, and 12 sacks during his final year at Cincinnati. He was the top graded FBS linebacker by PFF, number 3 run defense, number 1 in pass rushing grade. And all he's done this year is 77 tackles, 2 and a half sacks, and an interception. He's pretty good at football, and yet he went undrafted. So why do you think scouts missed on Ivan Pace Jr. this year?
There's a lot of lessons to learn from that. He was dominant in college, but he got nicked for a couple of things. I mean, number one, coming up from the G5, that was mitigated for me a bit that Cincinnati had played some really good teams during his career there. They made the playoff that one year, and they played Power 5 teams as well. He played well in those games. But then the other thing, it was the lack of measurables. You know, I think he was 55 to 60th percentile athlete, and, you know, he has that sawed off kind of frame. But the thing is, you know, again, lessons to be learned. A lot of times evaluators, they start honing in on the nitpicks or the holes in the eval they start zeroing in and concentrating on their question marks, as opposed to just what is this kid good at? Like, what do we know 1000% is going to translate? And with Ivan Pace, where I really disagreed with the NFL is he 1000% bare minimum and from day one was going to be a banshee on special teams, if nothing else, right? And then he, you know, you could have him as a depth linebacker, bare minimum. The way that kid, you know, we've seen him now on the field in the NFL with the Vikings this year, but he's just a terror coming downhill. The kid's fearless. He bounces off of blocks and he tends to get home. So if he's coming forward, and again, you watch his film at Cincinnati, coming forward, he was just great there. And you knew he was the viability was there. Well, that is worth what? A minimum of a 6th round pick? If you know the kid's going to be awesome on special teams and provide the depth, that's what confused me. I think I ranked him graded him as like a 4th rounder, you know, somewhere in that sort of range, maybe I think early 4th round. And the reason why is I thought he had a better shot to start in the NFL than, you know, obviously the NFL turned out thinking by and large during that draft process. And that's come to fruition. But yeah, that's where I disagreed on Ivan Pace with the NFL.
Like, do you think that, how much is this a Brian Flores product? Because Brian Flores has pretty much created a defense from scratch using some Patriots concepts, some concepts from the University of Pittsburgh. Like, if Ivan Pace goes somewhere else, he said he could be a banshee on special teams, but is he this good in a different defense?
Probably not. And we probably don't see him right away, right? Because I seen that kid dominate in college over multiple years, I do think he would have figured it out, gotten onto the field, you know, wherever he went eventually. But obviously with the Vikings and entering this, you know, terrible linebacking core, that helped him out to get onto the field, that, you know, also him being good. But to your point, he's also a fabulous fit with Flores. And that was one thing that like immediately caught my eye of like some of the defenders they were honing in on. And if you know Pace's game and then you know Flores's prerogative, it's like this is going to work, you know, and obviously ends up winning the starting job right away. But what I'm talking about is Ivan Pace is one of the more aggressive linebackers we've seen come out the last couple of years. Not the most physically gifted, but again, you know, just screaming downhill. He doesn't mind taking on 325-pound guards. Like, I mean, he will go right into the dude. Whatever the assignment is, he throws his body around. You know, it's like a gladiator out there. And Flores, the way that he runs the thing, you know, as we see this year, Vikings have, what, the highest blitz rate in the NFL? They also have the highest drop eight rate. The part of the blitzing and the aggression coming downhill, all that sort of stuff, that is translated. We've seen that. The way that Ivan Pace has impressed me has been even better than I thought he would be is in coverage. Now, he still has work on that, but, you know, to do on that, obviously he's not a finished product, but I thought that was the area that he was going to struggle in the NFL was coverage. And to this point, he's been pretty solid. In fact, you know, looking at the PFF grades, he is the number one Vikings defender in terms of coverage grade, regardless of position, 82.3. They obviously send him forward a lot, but he has been targeted 32 times and he takes the guy down right away, right? Like, you know, if the completion's around him, he's taking the dude down right away. There's very little yardage and yardage overall given up. So, but yeah, very good fit in the defense.
Let's move on to the offensive side of the ball. Obviously a more ballyhooed pick. I don't even know if I pronounced that word right, but you're going to have to bear with me there.
You did.
Ballyhooed pick, Jordan Addison out of USC. He's got 62 catches, 824 yards, and 9 touchdowns during his rookie season. On Saturday, he had 6 catches, 111 yards, and 2 touchdowns against the Cincinnati Bengals. He is on pace to be the 3rd rookie wide receiver in Vikings history to get 1,000 yards, along with 2 guys you may have heard of, Randy Moss and Justin Jefferson. What do you think has made Addison such a great fit for Kevin O'Connell's offense?
It's the technician stuff and the route running stuff. He has a really good feel for it. You know, both in terms of just the coverage feel, getting the cushion, different stuff like that, the footwork, all that sort of stuff. And then in the zones, finding the soft spots in them, you know, he's showing that he's also a creative guy when the play starts to break down, you know, like knowing what to do, breaking off your route, making yourself available to the quarterback. That's the stuff that's impressed me. That's why he's been able to get on the field right away and produce. He's going to get better as time goes along, you know, as the game sort of fleshes out and his role in the offense does once Jefferson comes back. It's been hard for a lot of these skill guys the last, what are we up to now, 5 or 6 games that they've had to play without Cousins. It's obviously depreciated the viability of the offense overall. and by extension, the skill players. They're not put in as good of situations. And we haven't seen as much of Addison playing next to Jefferson as we wanted either. But when Jefferson comes back and you can't double cover Addison, you can't roll the coverage to him at all. A lot of times, if Jefferson going to be on the other side, you know, you got a single high look there. Addison's going to be free on the other side, just has to beat the one corner that's on him. And it's really hard to stay with Jordan Addison, particularly in man coverage, because of his footwork. And again, his feel, the way he sets up defenders. One of the things that impressed me, you know, both at Pitt, where he won the Biletnikoff when he was playing with Pickett, and then the next year at USC with Caleb Williams last season, you know, not only the route running technician stuff, he has a cleverness to it that you don't really see with collegiate receivers, where you could see early in the game, he would beat a guy on one concept. You know, let's say it's 8 yards and then you're going to break in, right? Well, then later in the game, you know, the teams that, you know, it's around the same position of the field, around the same down and distance, he does this really clever thing where he's running the same route and it looks the exact same. Against the exact same guy, dekes it the one way and just hard out the other way. He has a really good understanding of what, you know, both with the corner doing, but then also in that moment, how do I play chess with this guy when he's only playing checkers with me? He's just trying to match my footwork, whatever. He's got the memory of that last play. You just give the corner enough rope essentially to hang himself. And you see that so often with Addison. That's why he's open all the time.
On the other side of the ball, not to give you a whiplash here, we're going offense, defense, but Mekhi Blackmon, a third round rookie out of USC, his man coverage grades by PFF were off the chart prior to the draft process. When I was doing a mock back in March, you know, I saw that. I'm like, wow, this guy's a great fit for Flores' defense. I had him going in the sixth round. He goes in the third round. I know his controller unplugged or whatever on that last T. Higgins touchdown on Saturday. But what have you liked about Mekhi Blackmon in his rookie year?
That's well said. That's exactly what that was. Yeah, Mekhi, just keep your head in the play till the very end. Slap that ball up.
The best part was
slap that ball up.
His comment was, "Oh yeah, my bad." Like that's like a Kadarius Toney thing. Like, "Oh my bad, I was 2 yards offside. Sorry guys, but I digress." Yeah.
And the crazy thing is like Kadarius Toney, he's been known. I mean, going back to the start at Florida, his whole career, for that sort of lackadaisical sort of thing playing and play out. But Blackmon is a dog. Like, I mean, his whole thing, I mean, fighting until the bitter end. My biggest issue with him coming out was fights a little bit too much with the hands on the routes down the field. That was really it. I mean, he's super duper sticky in coverage and he's very aggressive as well. So he has that fully fleshed out thing. Some of the technical things he's still working on, but a pretty solid start for him. You know, he'd been the Vikings' best corner this season. The tackle grade, very good on him as well. The efficiency and the tackle rate, different stuff like that. He is impressed in year one. There have been isolated plays where you scratch your head or you get frustrated, but for a late third round rookie cornerback, you're getting bang for your buck right now, and he's only going to get better.
Looking on to, you know, I mean, I feel like this has been a successful draft class. You know, with the contributions they're getting from Addison, from Pace, from Mekhi Blackmon, there might be another player to step up here as we move along. But compared to last year's class, you know, Ed Ingram's taken a small step forward, very small, but he's serviceable. Caleb Evans has been solid in the secondary. Ty Chandler broke out. But then you still have Lewis Cine, Andrew Booth, Brian Asamoah. Those guys might not be on the team last year. Like, why do you think there was such a huge gap between this year's draft class and last year's draft class?
I'm sure Kwesi would say, oh, you know, learning curve and, you know, second year, you know, like what that sort of stuff, like I progress, whatever. I think that's a part of it, you know, just in terms of like in the moment when you're on the clock making the decisions. But he also made wonky decisions even outside of the selections in that first draft where it seemed like he went in with ideas of like, I'm going to do this. And even when the tide started to change and scenarios that perhaps you couldn't have envisioned before the draft started presenting themselves, the Vikings, it felt like he stayed myopic and sitting dead red on sort of like under the auspices of the idea that he came into the draft with. And, you know, the biggest example of this obviously was they were obviously going to take a safety seeing as though they pun intended.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Did at the very end of the first round. Kyle Hamilton wasn't projected to fall to the Vikings in most mock drafts that were out there in advance. I imagine the Vikings front office didn't think that either. And maybe that went into the idea of let's trade down. But Kyle Hamilton falls to you. And instead of just taking the gift that the universe gives, Kyle Hamilton was incredible at Notre Dame. He's one of the best collegiate safeties I've seen in the last 10 years. The idea that he wasn't going to be an immediate stud in the NFL was ridiculous. Like, the kid was going to translate, whatever. And instead of doing that, you trade down. And basically, you know, the trade, I mean, this is dumbing it down just a bit, but it essentially became you're trading Kyle Hamilton for Louis Seen, Ingram, and Booth, right? Yes. I mean, that's, you know, when you sort of come out in the watch, there was a couple, you know, ancillary later on things. And obviously it set up the trade down where you let the Packers come up and get Watson, you know, and different stuff like that. But that's not a transaction. I mean, like, I'll put it this way. If the Ravens called, or we'll do it the other way around. If Kwesi called the Ravens and said, hey, guys, I'm interested in Kyle Hamilton. I'll offer you Louis Seen, Andrew Booth, and Ed Ingram. They would laugh and hang up. So, you know, that was an unfortunate thing. And then in that first draft, you saw sort of a leaning of Kwesi to try to shoot for upside on guys who had the athletic gifts, but then had been nicked up with injuries during their career, or they had, you know, one question or a couple questions about their eval that made them high variance prospects. So it seemed like, you know, for the you know, his financial background, it seemed like he was going all in on some penny stocks in terms of that, you know, these high variance stocks and whatnot. And it didn't work out. And you had a sure investment bet that fell to you and you didn't take that. Whereas this last time around, there wasn't as much of that. And again, learning from your mistakes, Jordan Addison, he's not the most physically gifted dude. You know, I mean, he's stick thin. He's not super tall. He's not a burner out there. You know, the testing was, you know, decent, but not great, whatever. But all the other aspects of the wide receiver craft is the stuff that Jordan Addison excelled at. Things like the route running, the feel, the setting up the cornerback. I mean, your goal as a receiver is just not to be covered and then catch the thing when it comes in. Jordan Addison is crazy good at the first one, bare minimum, right? So, you know, you were accepting perhaps in taking him, this guy is not going to be a top three receiver in the league at any point. I don't think he will be. But he was basically guaranteed of being an awesome number two, particularly with a team with Justin Jefferson, for a very long time, and on other teams, you know, could develop into the number one. And so, you know, it was just decisions like that, going for the sure things that cost certainty. And that has ended up paying off so far.
So of course, as we look ahead, 2024 quarterback class, you got Kirk Cousins, a free agent. Vikings, not really sure what they're going to, I don't think they're going to re-sign Josh Dobbs. That might be a stretch. Nick Mullins. All right. I mean, he's functional, but probably not a guy you want to roll into. Beginning of the year, we thought this was a loaded quarterback class. So when the Vikings started 1-4, we all kind of sat there and be like, lean into it. Go get somebody. Like, there's all these quarterbacks out there. Now it looks like there's two surefire prospects in Drake May and Caleb Williams and a lot of question marks behind them. So has this quarterback class turned out weaker than you originally thought? Or what do you think is the best option for the Vikings going into 2024?
Yeah, it's... I go both ways on that because, you know, I mean, there was, you know, sort of the bonanza idea, like if Ewers hadn't gotten injured and then Ewers had just shredded it this year, Ewers reminds me a lot of Matthew Stafford. They both, it doesn't make sense how the ball comes out, just detonates out of their hand, and they both have that weird, you know, three quarter arm slot thing, and they flick their wrist and it's like a bullet coming out every single time. But Ewers, we were hoping, would make the leap. If he would have declared, and this is the reason that he didn't, he would have gone on day two, you know, and then you have to face a little bit of a more uphill battle. Whereas next year, good bet he's going to be a round one pick, assuming he doesn't get injured and has a decent season. Then, of course, he had Riley Leonard go back, you know, like a couple of different guys like that. But I still, you know, on the other end of it, I still think this is going to be a really, really good quarterback class, you know, better than the last couple of years, certainly. First of all, Caleb Williams at the top, people are going to nitpick him because USC as a team wasn't good this year. That wasn't on Caleb Williams. Their wide receivers were mediocre. They're not going to have a wide receiver that gets picked round one, round two, like whatever, probably not even round three. We'll have to see where that Brennan Rice kick goes. But the other guys, just ancillary, you know, just mad kind of guys. And then, of course, the defense was terrible. And the offensive line wasn't very good either. So like Caleb Williams is a stud. I would take him unless it's the Caleb Williams wouldn't be a great fit for the Vikings just because O'Connell loves his quarterbacks to play in structure so much. Whereas Caleb Williams is, you know, he's more of like the, you know, people comp him to Pat Mahomes. He's not like Pat Mahomes, but like, it's the same thing in terms of like, you know, extending the play. And then you want to shoot the ball downfield, stuff like that. But, you know, other guys like Kyler Murray or Bryce Young, they're out of structure quarterbacks. That's what Caleb Williams is. But he's a great prospect. So is Drake May. You know, a lot of people know about Drake May. Justin Herbert comp on him. He's got the big arm to get it downfield. And he also has rushing utility, pocket presence about him. He's not, you know, looking to tuck or run. He's definitely a thrower, but he's one of those guys. Things break down. He doesn't have an option. He makes the correct one. He doesn't force it into coverage. He doesn't take the sack. He'll find that little crease and shoot out of there. Really like his pocket game, and he's been playing for a while. I think he's going to run the 40, probably right around where Williams does. You know, just if you're looking at that, and Drake May's big.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The measurements I got on them from the pre-draft over the summer, 6'4 and a half, 225 on May. We'll have to see what he comes in at. But then the reason that I wouldn't poo-poo this quarterback class, Jaden Daniels is legitimate top 10, top 15 at worst prospect at this point. He's an interesting prospect. Daniels, you know, more people are going to get into him. Some people that, you know, watch college football, I've seen him, obviously won the Heisman this year, whatever. But when people who haven't like watched his tape get into him, they're going to be really interested in him because it's this specific thing where he has the legs. He's been, you know, going back 4 years. He started as a true freshman for Herm Edwards, former NFL coach at Arizona State. And then he's got a really good deep ball. And so those are the two things that were sort of, you know, he always sort of had the touch on the deep ball with the mobility. But the stuff he struggled with earlier in the career was the intermediate accuracy, some of the pocket presence, but definitely reading the field in conjunction with that. Just didn't have the best awareness of that. You know, things were going too fast for him, whatnot. And so you took away the short and the intermediate passing game. And then he just had these two polarities that he was good at. And some of those teams around him, he didn't get the most help later on. And so it didn't work out the best. His first year at LSU was certainly better. This year where he really took off, it was the pocket presence thing, knowing when to, you know, hold him and fold him. And the second he knew it wasn't there, that's when he looks to get around the edge and he can rip off a whole bunch of yards. But he wasn't tucking and running early. He wasn't missing opportunities because of that. And he knows because of his legs, I can stay in there until the last possible second to heave that thing downfield if something, you know, it becomes available there. there was an interesting story. I had heard this beforehand, but there was a story that came out nationally in the last couple of weeks that was talking about this. LSU has this thing where they put their quarterbacks, and it's like a, you know, fighter pilot simulation thing where they see, like they basically play the game in advance of it. You can see all the different defenders. They give you different coverage looks, right? You know what the play you're going to run, whatever. You know, it's like being, you know, like a fighter pilot or a golf simulator or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the defense thing is called, and it's like, but he doesn't know what's coming, right? And it could be a zero blitz or whatever. Or it could be we're dropping eight, or it could be this, or it could be that. And so he was playing this thing. He got so good at it that what I was told was they sped the thing up by the end to 2.5 times normal speed. So Daniels was becoming like friggin' Neo reading the defenses, you know, where everyone is like, it was all fast forward. And he'd be like, him, run, him. And so that's how it really slowed down for him on the field this year. And you could really tell that. Again, there was zero panic in the kid whatsoever. And because of that, it improved his short and intermediate accuracy in conjunction with it. First of all, the defense already has to play off it because you must respect his deep ball. He's just really, really good at that. But then also the fact that he wasn't losing his mechanics or his mind, you know, as the pass rush came in, whatnot, you allowed yourself to keep the base and then throw a more accurate pass. So his game really shot up. He's going to be QB3, I think. But McCarthy is the other round one guy potential to keep an eye on. A lot of people aren't talking about him yet because Michigan didn't play a bunch of teams this year. A lot of teams where they could just run the entire time, whatnot. I really like JJ McCarthy's game. He's the fourth guy that I think could get into round one. Needs a strong showing in the playoff, I think, to lock that in. But if he has a good showing in the playoff, I think he's your fourth quarterback in round one. I think that's how it's going to shake out.
So I know you got a hard out here. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close out with you, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Viking Lions and close this podcast out. But before I let you go, you know, what's going on at Fantasy Pros, and where can people follow you on social media?
We're doing all the bowl stuff, this month, the opt-out tracker, the breaking down the picks. We got shows on the Betting Pros YouTube channel, everything like that, breaking down all the bowl games, giving out all the picks. And then after the national title game, you know, bowl season's one of my favorite seasons. My next favorite season is draft season. So we're flipping it over to that. We'll be at the Senior Bowl, Fantasy Pros will, doing that kind of stuff. And then we'll work towards our 500 player big bar of 500 comps by the end of the process. But yeah, check out the draft stuff.
Awesome. Hey, Thor, thanks for your time. Appreciate all the knowledge you're dropping. And I'm excited to see all the work you're going to do for draft season, man.
Oh, appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
So that is Thor Nystrom, our weekly guest on the Viking Age podcast. Now, we got a little bit of time to go here on the Viking Age podcast, so I'm just going to go ahead and talk it off. Thor, if you're still on, you can log off whenever you're ready. Don't feel like I have to wrap you up or anything, but we are a little bit different today because we had a little bit of technical difficulties and issues logging into the normal streaming service. So this is the Viking Age. So if I'm looking to the side or whatever, or there we go, I got you right in the middle now. So if I'm looking down or whatever, I apologize in advance. But the Viking Age podcast, we do this twice a week, usually got an episode on Monday with a late week episode. Of course, this is the latter, which means it is our opportunity to preview Sunday's showdown with the Detroit Lions. The Vikings, of course, hosting the Lions at US Bank Stadium. It'll be a 12 o'clock kickoff, Christmas Eve. It is a whiteout. So if you're going to the game, wear white. I had a chance to go to the whiteout last year, but there literally was a whiteout in South Dakota that weekend. So I was not able to go. I was pretty bummed out, but obviously it wound up being a cool atmosphere. TJ Hockenson with a big game, that big catch of the touchdown. And then Greg Joseph with the 61-yard field goal to beat the New York Giants. Of course, in revisionist history, we would have wished that would have happened like 2-3 weeks later in the playoffs, but here we are. So the Vikings right now, 7-7. They're a sixth seed in the NFC. They're going to take on the Lions, who are having one of the best seasons since, I think it's like 1962, right? They haven't won the division since Tampa Bay was in there. It was the NFC Central. You got Dan Campbell there. He's biting off kneecaps, chugging ventis, all that stuff. Lions got a lot of good vibe. The Vikings basically need to win two of their last three games to make the playoffs. They'll play Detroit twice. So you got, do simple math here. You have to beat them once. Here's why I'm concerned. Dan Campbell has done a tremendous job against the Vikings in his career. And Viking fans know, like, we all think Dan Campbell's a meathead. He's a pretty damn good head coach. Like, I know some coaches are like the tactical, you know, analyst. Like, there's Kevin O'Connell, right? And he's sitting there and he's like numbers, outcomes, and situations and all that stuff that a lot of us don't understand. Dan Campbell's just like, I don't want to call him a cheerleader, but like, he's a guy that can walk in a room and like, you want to like go kill a guy for him. That's probably like a bad example, but you know what I mean? Run through walls, do all those football stuff. Like, Dan Campbell motivates the Lions, and that's what's been behind their turnaround. They have a great offensive coordinator in Ben Johnson, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Really, the Vikings let him took off in that meeting at Ford Field a couple years ago, where I think he had like 11 catches and that walk-off touchdown from Jared Goff. Jared Goff is playing out of his mind. And, you know, I think a lot of people shit on him because they think, well, Jared Goff failed with the Rams. Sean McVay didn't want him and all that stuff. The guy was a number one overall pick. So he knows how to play football. Does he have some flaws? Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, he knows how to get the job done. And this Lions team has been tremendous indoors. They're averaging about 36 points per game indoors, 23 on the road. This is a tough challenge for the Vikings, especially with Nick Mullins. The Vikings are going to go ahead with Nick Mullins. They're going to start him. You know, a lot of people want Jaren Hall. And when I think about this whole thing, like, you have to go back with what the Vikings' intention was with Jaren Hall when they drafted him in the first round of last year's draft. Like, Hall was not supposed to see the field this year. He's supposed to be a developmental project. He's one of those guys you kind of develop and bring up. And if he's good, he's got a ceiling as a backup. Like, people forget, the guy is 25 years old. He was in a football mission, or not a football mission, but a mission for BYU. I don't know the exact specifics, so don't quote me on this, but BYU requires their athletes to take a mission, and that is why Jaren Hall is an advanced age. I'm not sure if he took advantage of the COVID year. He might have, but Hall is a good quarterback. He's got a decent arm. He's got decent mobility. If you look at his big time throw percentage and his turnover worthy play percentage for BYU, they're pretty good. Obviously, the professional game, a lot different than the collegiate game. And I think Vikings fans who want to see Jaren Hall out there, and I was part of the group on Saturday when Nick Mullins was turning the ball over. So I'm not completely innocent here. But the only reason Jaren Hall saw the field is because every quarterback in front of him was either hurt or just acquired via trade. You know, you had Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles. Nick Mullins had a back injury. Josh Dobbs just got there. He was traded like three or four games before the Falcons game, right? And then Jaren Hall steps in. He has that good opening drive, suffers the concussion. Josh Dobbs steps in, and we haven't seen him since. The preparation that went into getting Jaren Hall ready for that Falcons game was incredible. And Kevin O'Connell talked about it when he was talking to the broadcast team before the game. You know, they had to put in Josh Dobbs, and O'Connell had to dumb it down. Like, Thor just got done saying he wants his quarterback to play in structure. And you could make the argument that Kevin O'Connell might need to adapt a little bit more to the quarterback that he has under center. But Josh Dobbs's downfall was that when he needed to stand in the pocket, process information, and make a throw, he couldn't do it because A, he wasn't accurate enough. And B, I mean, he's a very smart guy. He processes things very well. But I mean, that it's just a lot of intangibles that are holding Josh Dobbs back from being a quarterback, because if he was good, you know, maybe the Cardinals are sitting there going like, Kyler Murray, yeah, we owe you a lot of money, but this Dobbs guy is pretty good. I mean, the Cardinals gave him away for free, if you don't remember. Like, I think it was a 6th and 7th round pick swap in next year's draft. So it was not a lot to acquire Josh Dobbs. And when that's happened, the other team knows something that you probably don't, which is not like slamming the trade at all. I think it was a trade they had to have made because they were 4-4 or whatever it was and trying to get in the playoffs at that point. I have no issues with that Josh Dobbs play. But to throw Jaren Hall out there and just let him sink or swim, it's kind of Kellen Mond all over again. And not to say that Jaren Hall is the same prospect as Kellen Mond, because I didn't think Kellen Mond was a good prospect coming out of Texas A&M. Yeah, he had that throw in his pro day where he went to his right and he chucked it like 50 yards down the throw. Every prospect has that at their pro day. You will see it three or four times during this draft prospect process coming up in the next couple of months. So that was not impressive to me. What Mon's issue was, he was not accurate and he did not process information well. I don't know about Jaren Hall. I really don't. Like, whatever Kevin O'Connell sees in practice, that's what he sees. And if Vikings are in a playoff race, which again, they are right now, they're a sixth seed, like throwing Jaren Hall out there, that is like, you know, we're mad at Kevin O'Connell for running back-to-back quarterback sneaks when they had like an 87.5% conversion rate during the season. Like, what would happen if they just tossed Jaren Hall out there, like, and he throws like four picks? Like, what are you doing, man? Why isn't Nick Mullins out there? It's a no-win situation for Kevin O'Connell, especially since Kirk Cousins got injured. So you're rolling with Nick Mullins. He's got the turnover problem. You just got to live with it and hope he makes more good plays than bad plays. This Lions defense is exploitable. They're not great. They're going to get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back in the near future. I don't think it's this week. The Vikings defense, on the other hand, sounds like they're going to get Jordan Hicks back. He's been expecting to play in this game. He had that compartment syndrome issue, which is like crazy. He basically, what happened, if you hadn't heard, he bruised his shin so bad that it like swelled up and basically like it cuts off all circulation. And it's just like kind of like squeezing the life like a boa constrictor or something. Like, that is basically what happened in Jordan Hicks's leg. So they basically had to cut him open, relieve the pressure, and never want that to happen, especially in the shin. Like, a shin bruise just sounds painful enough. And then it's like, yeah, pins and needles, fetal position, crying. And that's an NFL player saying that. It's not like me or you. Like, oh yeah, it was horrible. No, it's like an NFL player who, like, you know, NFL players back in the day, they would cut off their fingers, like Ronnie Lott. Like, ah, whatever. It's just my pinky. Cut it off. They're tough. They're very tough. So get Jordan Hicks back on the defensive side for the Vikings. Brian O'Neill, I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the practice report since we are recording this on Wednesday. I don't think they've had one. Like, yesterday, the Vikings had a full business day at TCO Performance Center. Normally they have Tuesdays off, but I think they want people to celebrate Christmas with their families. I say that like that's a bad thing, but it kind of pushed everything down the line, or maybe ahead a day, whereas normally they would go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then they would have Saturday as a travel day or get ready day or whatever and play the game on Sunday. So as far as this game goes, I don't know, man. Like, Nick Mullins at quarterback concerns me a little bit because he does have that turnover problem. The Vikings have said, or I think Kevin O'Connell specifically said, he wants to give Ty Chandler a little bit more run. I am all for that. I am not. I'm very careful with my Ty Chandler takes after kind of slamming him, because it's kind of like, well, what are you doing here? You said something was wrong. No, I didn't say anything was wrong with Ty Chandler. I said something could be up because Kevin O'Connell hinted that something was wrong with Ty Chandler. And all of a sudden, Ty Chandler sees the field and there's nothing. Now, Cincinnati's run defense, not very good. I think they're in the top 10 in yards allowed and within the top 5 in yards per carry allowed in the NFL this season. So that could be Ty Chandler taking advantage of a soft matchup. I don't have the numbers on the Lions in front of me, but I think the running game's going to have to get going to take pressure off Nick Mullins. You're going to have to find the way to get the ball on Justin Jefferson's hands. We had a solid game, but not a great game. And Jordan Addison, too. He stepped up. He had that rookie wall, kind of had a couple of rough games there, but Jefferson returns. As Thor mentioned, that coverage kind of shifts towards JJ, and Addison's seeing a lot of opportunities. 6 catches, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns against Cincinnati. He is going to be an important part of this game. Now, as I mentioned, Dan Campbell could have a 4-0 record against the Vikings. I know he's 2-2, but you look at the other two losses. The first loss was at US Bank Stadium, where they took the lead late. Alexander Mattison fumbled, Lions scored, and then Kirk Cousins led a game-winning drive, led to a big Greg Joseph field goal, and Kirk and Mike Zimmer wanted to fight in a back alley afterwards. Great times. Love the Kirk and Zimmer relationship there. But then last year, a game that I attended, the Vikings were down by 14 points twice to Dan Campbell. And then the Vikings came back. Kirk Cousins found, I mean, Dan Campbell could have won the game. I think it was a fourth down late in the fourth quarter, had a chance to convert. Vikings were out of timeout, so they would have just won the game there. Campbell decides to kick the field goal. Vikings come back, Kirk Cousins, KJ Osborne, they wind up winning the game. So as far as the prediction goes, I'm taking the Lions. I don't have an exact score in my head, but I just think that Dan Campbell has the Vikings number. Now, Dan Campbell could do something dumb and let the Vikings win this game, I think. But I mean, with the way that offense plays indoors, with the speed that they have, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jared Goff, basically, you know, Cam, everybody was slamming Cam Newton because, oh, he's a game manager. Well, yeah, he's a game manager. Like, he doesn't really, his job is not to take risks and be like, go win the game. It's get the ball to our playmaker. So that is what Jared Goff does. The defense might allow the Vikings to keep in it. And if Kirk Cousins were in this game, and a lot of the Kirk haters will love this, I think I'd pick them. With Nick Mullins as the starting quarterback, I'm not so sure. So I'm going to say the Lions. I haven't looked at the spread or the over-under, so I got to think on this here. I think this is my favorite score. I'm going to say 31-23 Lions, because it has to be decided by one score. The Vikings cannot decide a game by more than one score. Otherwise, their quarterback gets hurt. And I don't want to see anything happen to Nick Mullins. So I don't want that on my conscience. So I'm going to say 31-23 Lions. Lions win. Vikings face two must-win games down the stretch. Unless the NFC just continues to be like, no, we don't want to make the play. No, go ahead, Vikings. Go ahead. Yeah. Super competitive. Yeah, do your thing, guys. Whatever. So again, sorry for the low production value of this late week episode. Some things that we could not control on our end, but a special thanks to Thor Nystrom of Fantasy Pros for coming on, talking about the Vikings draft class. That's all the time we got for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also on Apple and Spotify, so you can listen to this in podcast form the very next day. But however you consume us, don't forget to rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. And we send the word to the masses. Quick programming note, no episode on Monday as it's Christmas. Go enjoy the time with your family. Hopefully Santa gives you what you want, a Vikings victory. And Adam and I will be back next Thursday. So for Thor Nystrom, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.